return of the Red Sea. You're back at the stadium.
Where I saw Red Sea.
We're on the sidelines and in the broadcast booth, covering Cardinals training camp like no one else can.
The Red Sea is rising up.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold. Bickley and Murata talk Cards training camp now.
Alongside Jarrett Carlin, Luke Lipinski in for Bickley and Murata here on this Friday, still morning, I guess. And we'll get into what's going on at camp today. But I do want to start, since we said we were going to talk about the just specifically Kyler's Madden rating. I'm not going to get too caught up in everything, but Kyler Murray's in particular, for a couple reasons, Jarrett. One, he plays video games more than anybody. It clearly bothers him that his rating was as low as it was last year. He said it on TV. He said it a couple times, and it probably should have, because if you get caught up in your own rating, like, the guys are like, I'm a 97 and I should be a 98. Okay, whatever. But when you're talking about quarterback that probably going into last year should have been, what, mid-80s, maybe even high-80s, and he's a 78? You over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You were talking. What do you want me to interrupt?
I was just like, looking
I'm not
at you.
One that to interrupt.
All
you
do is interrupt me.
No, I've never done that.
I feel like I'm on an island.
I start
now.
Today on a Friday.
Okay. All you do is interrupt everybody. Where do you think he
I
is?
I don't
this
interrupt
year?
You. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Well, here's what you talked about. The top 10 is out.
The top 10 quarterback ratings are out.
I want
Madden
you to start
22.
At one.
So, okay,
because if you start at 10, I mean.
So just in
Let's
case he's
a little
number
suspense,
one.
Cause, yeah, just okay. In case he's number one.
All right, I'll start at one and work my way down.
All
okay,
right.
And you stop
Kyler
me.
Murray.
Okay, so, no, number one is Patrick Mahomes, 99.
Patrick Mahomes, okay.
That's fine. Tom Brady is a 97. He's number two. Okay.
Overrated.
Didn't help
sure.
me at all in the Mock My World draft, but that's fine.
That's good, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 96. He's number three.
Yes.
Okay. Now that they know he's on the Packers.
I would have put him ahead of Brady, but sure.
I would have, too. Russell Wilson is number four with a 94.
Fair.
Okay.
Half the season MVP.
Also didn't help me in Mock My World.
All right, number five.
Okay, this is where we start to, okay, maybe Kyler sneaks
Listen,
in around
I'm listening.
Here.
I'm taking my head.
You
I'm turning my headphones up right now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll turn mine up too, even though I'm the one talking. Lamar Jackson is number five.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Okay, I can see that.
So, you know, that's probably a better runner than Kyler. Probably not as good of a thrower as Kyler, but, you know, he's done it for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so he's 94 overall. He's number five. Okay. Number six is Deshaun Watson. Okay. He's 90 overall.
I'm surprised he's even in the game, but I guess
well,
it has to be.
He is in the game. He's at Texans camp. Number seven is Josh Allen at 88 overall.
Yeah, okay. There, you know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks.
There are.
I thought Josh Allen, MVP candidate.
Yeah, and you figure Kyler kind of probably, now that we see this in perspective, Kyler probably just maybe like a notch below Josh Allen.
I think this is right where he belongs, Kyler Murray. So you said he's number eight, Kyler Murray?
I didn't say that yet, actually. I'll get to number eight. Number eight's Dak Prescott. He's 87 overall.
He puts up good fantasy numbers.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played in a year, so I guess he deserves to be there. Sure,
okay.
Why not?
Well, and here's the thing. Dak is tied with somebody. So now it's like,
oh,
all right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So obviously.
You're just saying him for so
yeah.
It's him and Kyler.
So eight is actually a tie. Two quarterbacks
yeah,
are 87
okay,
overall.
It,
so Dak Prescott tied with.
All right, so number eight's not so
well,
bad.
Well, no. Actually, huh? No. It's Ryan Tannehill who's tied with Dak Prescott at 87 overall. So okay, so that's nine. So
I know we're having fun. It is. There are more good top-level quarterbacks in the NFL than usual.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill and Dak Prescott, both arguable that they should be ahead of Kyler Murray. I'm not outraged by it, though.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm not outraged. I want to see his actual rating, and we haven't seen that. Tannehill, 87. By the way, I didn't even get to number 10.
Well, no, because number 10 is Kyler Murray.
Well, no,
after those two guys, there's nobody possible that could be ahead.
Yeah, because when you start to look at this list of the guys in front of him, like, okay, some of these guys are more at the very top, you're talking about Super Bowl winners. Then you're talking about more established passers.
MVP
okay.
candidates.
But none of these guys, especially playing Madden, like, you love to have a quarterback that can run
multidimensional.
Fast. Yeah, when you're playing
okay.
Madden. So
who's left that, but he's a really fast runner, this guy, number 10, you're saying?
Yeah, Matt Ryan.
And currently in his prime.
Yeah.
What?
Matt Ryan, yes. So he's 10th. And I'm not even sure if Kyler's in the game. I don't know.
Did they accidentally put him in MLB The Show this year? Thinking that he did change. It's just,
Maybe that's what this is all about. They originally were putting him in their baseball game, and then he left, and all that work was shot, so they just decided they were never going to rank him highly in football.
It's just, see, that's the one to me that is egregious. Like, you can make the argument that he should be ahead of Ryan Tannehill also.
Yeah.
You can make the argument that he should be ahead of Dak Prescott just because of what Dak Prescott has done lately.
Let me ask you this. If the Atlanta Falcons called Steve Keim right now and they're like, we'll give you Matt Ryan for Kyler Murray, do you think they would get the full name out before he hung up?
They'd be like, Bill O'Brien, are you trying to prank call me to get back at me?
I told you we're not giving you DeAndre Hopkins back.
No, I didn't think that Matt Ryan was so favorably viewed anymore in the league.
He's
in fact,
fine.
If you would have said a Matt would be right at 10,
Stafford.
I would have thought Stafford would be ahead, which is when we see the rest of the rankings, and Stafford is also ahead of Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
See, the one to me that is a very, very hip pick to be a top quarterback this year, and I'm seeing the same stuff as, like, he's going to follow in Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, is Justin Herbert. And if someone like Justin Herbert is ranked ahead of Kyler Murray... Then that's true disrespect.
Well, that's what he called it last year, right? Didn't he call it disrespectful? That's what Kyler Murray called it. I'm trying to find the 20, well, I guess it would be 21, Madden. I'm trying to find those ratings before they got updated over the course of the year. You know what I mean? Just to see like where he was ranked in relation to other quarterbacks or even other players. Like I think there was a punter with a higher rating than him last year going into the season. And again, I know it ultimately doesn't matter. And I know some people are like, we'll go out there and prove it on the field. But it very clearly matters to him. It matters to a lot of his peers. And if you're going to make such a big deal out of rolling out this release of like, oh, okay, now it's the top 10 safeties, and now it's the top 10 whatever, and Friday is going to be the top 10 quarterbacks, but you're not going to have one of your top 10 quarterbacks in the top 10, he's a top 10 quarterback. Agreed?
I think so, and if you got to hope so if you're the Cardinals.
Yeah, if he's not, I mean, then you've got some
I mean, he was truly... An MVP candidate through that first half of the year.
Yeah.
So
and he was hurt in the second half. Like that's the thing where like the argument for Dak Prescott was he was amazing and then he got hurt. So we'll just put him at 8. Whereas with Kyler, it's like he was amazing and then he got hurt. So we'll just put him at, who knows? He might be also, like 17.
You're either basing the rankings on how good a season they had last year or how good you think they're going to be this year.
Yes.
So if it's how good they were last year, how could you have Dak Prescott even in the top 10?
Tom Brady had a
good year, but he won the Super Bowl. That's why he's ranked number 2, not because. Like, is Tom Brady right now the second best quarterback in the NFL?
No, but, I mean, if they don't have all the scoring broken down. They have.
Okay, I know the Cardinals tweeted out they had the quarterback under pressure, making plays under pressure rankings.
Yeah.
And Kyler was not in the top 10 in that either,
which is most of
what he does best.
It's almost like way back in the day when like three players in the league would be like, no, you can't use my name and likeness in your game.
Right.
That's like, what this is like.
So, yeah, when you played NBA Jam and instead of Charles Barkley, they had like AC Green on the Suns team.
That's
like, what?
That's the only logical explanation. Like, that's the point we're getting to is like, no, Kyler said we can't use him, so we just had to do Arizona Cardinals quarterback 1 or whatever. And even then, he should still be rated. Like Brady, they have some of the stuff. Accuracy, short accuracy is 99%. Mid accuracy 97, deep accuracy 93 for Brady. So accuracy is really paying off because that's three categories. If they had intangibles for Brady or like, I don't want to say luck, but like good fortune, it would be like 1,000. So maybe that's where he's making up some of the ground on everybody else. I mean, look, I'm fine with Brady being in the top 3. It just feels weird. It feels like if you're using certain categories, then Kyler would be 8. If you're using other categories, then he'd be like 6. But either way, this is not like a lock that he's 11th either. He might very well be like 16th or 17th. So basically what I'm saying is we may have a frustrated Kyler Murray on our hands.
Which could
here.
Be good if he's in a prove it mode.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he was in that start of last year. So we'll see if he can do that again this year. But
And Kyler Murray did just finish speaking. So we'll have some of that sound for you a little bit later in the show.
Okay. All right.
Return of the Mac. Were you expecting me to play some music here or something?
I thought that's what you were doing right
there.
Okay,
I'll do it.
Well, no, just keep singing. This isn't even Return of the Mac.
No, it's not, because you put me on the spot. I had to find something quickly.
So just so we're clear, your, like, emergency song that you go to is Return of the Mac.
I don't know why that jumped into my head, but who's the...
I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you're wrong. We're going to get into some hash marks right here. Is this garbage?
It is.
Wow.
I mean, I like it, but if that's what your opinion is.
I'm just saying it sounds like it's garbage. It
sounds like garbage.
It does sound like garbage. While you just keep turning up and down garbage, I'll remind you to text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620.
Yeah, let's
right
go over
now.
Some of those texts today.
You have them.
Oh, that's right.
Every day you're like, let's go over those, and then the show ends, and you're like,
Text us. This is a big news day.
Okay, yes,
so text us, first of all, your thoughts on what the Diamondbacks should do at the deadline.
Yep.
And text us your reaction to the Lakers getting Westbrook.
I do want to hear that.
And what that means for the Suns.
I want to hear that. And honestly, if you're a Suns fan driving around or listening at work or whatever, if you have strong feelings that now that you've seen how the first round of the draft shook out and there was a guy there at 29 that you still wanted, I'd kind of like to know who that was, too. Because like I said, we had Kellen on when we did the two-hour show last night. It was me and Jordan Bird and Kellen for the full 2 hours. And so, about midway through the lottery, we asked Kellen to give us like three names of guys that that he was looking at for the Suns at 29. And one of them was, I think it was Jared Butler, who was like, if he had slid there, that would have been really nice. And he actually did. And as Kellen said last night, and I think most Suns fans are probably on board with this, you don't know that at the time. It would have been tough to wait and make that trade at pick 29 because obviously Brooklyn had stuff they were trying to do that probably centered around whether or not they had that pick or not, so they wanted to get it done earlier. I'm assuming Brooklyn's the team that wanted to get it done earlier. But there were some players that kind of dropped to 29. It's like, okay, it doesn't make me like the Shamet trade any less, or it doesn't make me like Shamet any less, but maybe if you had just stayed there, you could have gotten a decent piece. So text that to us as well at 620-620, or if you're just happy with the trade. But we want to get hash marks, and Carson Wentz is already out for the Colts. Do we have a timeline for him?
Out indefinitely is what it said. Left yesterday with a foot injury.
Well, that sounds like a bigger deal than just, like, Dak, when he left yesterday with the shoulder issue, it was like he's probably going to miss 2 or 3 days. Or, this is not, as Jarrett likes to say, a minor thing with DeAndre Hopkins, where he's out for like an hour.
Right. He missed the sign-in sheet yesterday, yeah. And he's in today.
That's about it. What are the Colts are a team.
It was such a bold acquisition anyway for the Colts to make that trade after Carson Wentz essentially tanked his whole career the last couple years,
Yeah.
Went from being, I'm sure his Madden rating a couple of years ago was in the top 10, maybe top 5.
It was higher than Kyler's last year, I believe, I remember right.
And now, now the Eagles were playing, what was the guy that they played in that last game?
Jalen Hurts?
No, the last game, Dudge Crumpley?
Yeah. Sure I don't know who Dudge Crumpley is.
No, remember they sat Jalen Hurts versus the Washington team in the second half, even though it was a close game.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
To play the awful quarterback.
There were so many bad quarterbacks playing by the end of last season.
And the Cardinals lost.
Was it Nate Sudfeld?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
That was very close to what I said.
Yeah, it actually was. It's always Nate Sudfeld, by the way. If you're ever in like a trivia situation, except it's not going to be the answer to this question I'm about to throw at you, Jared.
Okay.
So Carson Wentz, would you say he is extremely durable and never misses games?
No.
Okay. I would agree with you. In fact, last year he missed 4. In 2018, he missed 5. In 2017, he missed 3. So
that his best season ever, he missed
the playoffs,
the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, if you count that, he's missed more than 5 games that season. But so not exactly the model of, like, we know he's going to play the full now 17-game season. So, Jarrett, I ask you, let's play start, sit, or cut with the three quarterbacks the Colts have behind Carson Wentz, okay? I'm going to turn this around on you. You get to play start, sit, or cut. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here are the names. Jalen Morton, what? Jacob Eason, and what? Sam Ehlinger. Those are the quarterbacks that the Colts backed Carson Wentz up with.
This is the when you're in like your 12 of dynasty mode in Madden.
Everybody's just made up.
And they just have all the made up guys from college since they can't use real college likenesses.
Yeah.
Wow. Jalen, who is the guy?
That was his name, actually. Jalen, who is the guy? Jacob Eason, to be fair, is listed on their depth chart as the number two. I believe he was a Husky, University of Washington, because there was a time where they recruited. Yeah, see, Sarah says yes, because there was a stretch where the University of Washington would only recruit guys named Jacob to play quarterback, and he was one
of them. If I gave you those three names, yeah, along with Dudge Crumpley, yeah, you wouldn't know which one was the fake name.
I probably would have said Dudge Crumpley over Sam Ellinger. Look, the ultimate plot twist here is going to be when the Colts do sign somebody named Dudge Crumpley to be their quarterback.
I would love that.
How do you not back up Carson Wentz if you're talking about a team that has Super Bowl aspirations?
The Eagles re-signed Nick Foles just to do that, and then they drafted a quarterback high just to do that because they knew what they had. Ridiculous.
There's not a lot of quarterbacks out there either to pick up.
Yeah, and you think they're calling up Phillip Rivers again?
That's kind of where I was going with it. I mean,
I wonder, right? If you remember when the Cardinals post Kurt Warner,
yeah,
it felt like
anytime somebody struggled
in a game or got hurt, oh, would Kurt Warner consider coming out of retirement? To the fact that like the year that Logan Thomas, did he play a playoff game? Am I imagining that?
No, I don't think you imagined
Ryan Lindley. Whatever.
Yeah. Ryan Lindley, you're right. He's the one that played. Logan Thomas did play that year, though.
Right.
But yes.
But that was like, do you think Kurt Warner would come out of retirement to start this playoff game because things are so bad? They've got to be thinking that way right now with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I'm trying to find like a list of available quarterbacks, and there's really not much out there. This is where you would normally turn to like a Ryan Fitzpatrick if you're the Colts, wouldn't you? Here's some of the names out there. Wow, this is a very, very short list. There's got to be more than this.
All right.
Josh McCown. He's always out there.
Always out there.
Matt Barkley.
Okay.
RG3.
Oh, boy.
Alex Smith.
Huh.
Brett Hundley. Sean Mannion. Ryan Finley. Jake Ruddock.
I would think that of those names, he's healthy, Alex Smith seems like the one to go to, right? Veteran guy. Can be a good stopgap. Luckily, it's the very beginning of camp.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
let me give you since today is MLB trade deadline day, a fairly significant trade has nothing to do with the Diamondbacks, though.
Okay.
An intercity trade.
Ooh.
As the Chicago Cubs trade Craig Kimbrel, who is having a surprisingly unbelievable year at age 71.
Okay.
To the Chicago White Sox.
Didn't know he was 71. Okay.
He actually went to grade school with Tony La Russa, I believe.
The manager
of the White Sox. So the White Sox have, I guess, either a new closer or a setup guy. They're going for it. Man, it'd be nice to be a team going for it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of when the Suns this season got to the trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
We contemplated here, thank goodness in retrospect they didn't do it, but would they really go all in and a splash and trade like DeAndre Ayton to upgrade that position? But it wound up that the Suns were so good they didn't really need to do anything.
It's funny that you say that. Like, it would be nice to be a team going, or like in a city where the team is going for it. It's like with what the Suns just did, I almost feel guilty expecting another team to be good. That's what the Valley sports scene has done to a lot of us over the last, decade?
Yeah.
It's like, well, the Suns were so good. I mean, none of the other teams should even be allowed to be good, right?
Or it would be good to be in a spot, not good, but it'd be better to be in a spot like the Nationals where you are, you know, you're giving it up, you're selling the team, but you have stars to unload. So you know you're getting back this bevy of prospects to set you up for the future, something to be excited about. As of now, it looked like in the Escobar trade, they got some mid-range prospects. And we'll wait and see, I guess, still got an hour and a half to see if they do anything else. But sorry, I just wanted to bring that in because that was sort of the biggest move today of Craig Kimbrel going to the White Sox.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of tough when you are in the spot where you're kind of, and look, I know the Diamondbacks didn't want to be in the spot, they didn't plan to be in the spot, but just in general, we were asking your fans to be excited about, hey, we moved a contract. You know what I mean? Because it's not like the fans are necessarily really paying that contract. So to your point, you want to be in that spot where you're trading for like an amazing player. But even if you're not, you want to be the team that can make a trade with Tampa and get some of their like really high-end prospects because you're not in the playoffs, but you have some good players to get rid of. Instead, even if the D-backs make a trade, like if you move Madison Bumgarner, you're probably going to get Dutch Crumpley back in the trade, to be honest.
But the question, the debate is, would that be worth it? If you could get out from the contract.
Yeah, I think at this point it would because you're not, it's not like the Diamondbacks are underachieving this year and they're suddenly going to be good next year. And even if you think like, well, but you never know in baseball, maybe they could turn it around. You're still in a division with the Dodgers and the Padres, so it's even that much harder to turn it around. We had somebody, Alex wrote in and said, Marte, Carson Kelly, and Zach Gallen should be untouchable.
Golly, man. I mean, if, okay, but then like you're really, what are you trading?
Well, yeah, and I don't necessarily agree that anybody is untouchable at this point, but he also went on to say there's no reason to trade guys like Josh Rojas, Pavin Smith, and Dalton Varsho. I do agree with the sense of, like, I'm not rushing to trade some of these younger guys that weren't supposed to be good yet. Like, I don't think we know, hey, oh, Dalton Varsho's not going to be good, or he's amazing, or Pavin Smith. I mean, these guys are actually, they're okay.
Right.
There's no reason to make a trade of somebody like that just for the sake of making
a trade. Of course. But also, you just named six of the nine starters. And if you're, it's like the guy in fantasy who's in, you know, ninth place, but he's like, I like my roster, yeah. You know. I'm going to hold it out and wait at the bridge's underachievement. So.
No, I don't think anybody's untouchable, but I'm just saying if they're not going to come out and be like, oh, yeah, we traded Josh Rojas for a pitching machine, like just because we wanted to make a trade. There are certain players we are only trading for something good in return. I don't think anybody should be untouchable because look at their record and then tell me they should be untouchable. But I'm not trading away a first year player just for the sake of making a trade. That just seems silly. All right, text rebound to 620-620 to receive an invitation to the exclusive basketball season recap Valley virtual event featuring Arizona sports hosts and other special guests. Text rebound to 620-620. This Valley virtual series is presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Come back and jump back into the NBA. The draft was last night, and the Suns made a trade that still hasn't happened, but it's really going to happen. That's next. It's the Bickley and Murata Show with Luke Lipinski and Jarrett Carlin on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know, it's funny, Jarrett. Nick Foles is actually trending on Twitter right now just because of Carson Wentz getting hurt. So, there he is.
Is he? Where is he?
He's in Chicago, isn't he?
He's still on the Bears?
Yeah. Chicago made up for getting rid of Trubisky by adding like 17 quarterbacks to
that
roster.
All about equal to Trubisky.
Well, and Justin Fields, who I would assume is going to be good. It really does feel like all of a sudden I'm the only person that thinks Justin Fields is going to be good. I mean, now I'm questioning myself.
Who could tell? Who knows? He's QB2. He's no Andy Dalton.
Well, come on. That's
if you're the Bears, though, actually, that is, you are in good position.
Yeah.
Because you figure if you have Dalton and then Fields, you would think would be their number two.
Look at the Bears just commanding the quarterback market out there. Yeah, you would think. They don't need all of them, right? You don't need Fields and Foles and Dalton.
Oh, my.
Yeah, doesn't get a whole lot better than that. All right, NBA draft last night. Cade Cunningham went first, Jalen Green. You want me to just read all the picks, all 60 picks here, Jarrett?
Yes, can you do it as Adam Silver, though?
You mentioned it earlier. I mean, he had the Josh Christopher pick. He had to go up there and report that Isaiah Jackson traded to the Pacers from the Lakers via the Wizards. And even he was just like, I'm done doing this. Like, he looked like he was ready to retire before the second round began. Here, this is how it started with Cade Cunningham.
With the first pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Now, Cade Cunningham, to his credit or maybe detriment, did say before the draft, like in the days leading up, he loves Detroit. So he really drove that point home, obviously wanting to be the first pick. Nothing against Detroit, but you don't often hear athletes just randomly come out and be like, I love Detroit, unless they play in Detroit.
No, not especially not out of context.
No.
I mean, I assume he was saying that because he knew he was going to get drafted by the Pistons, not just like in casual conversation. Give me your, you know, three hobbies. Well, I enjoy reading. I enjoyed long walks on the beach, and I love Detroit.
I enjoy loving Detroit.
Yes. Many people say he's going to be a star. He's going to be the he's one of the better prospects to come into the league in a while.
It seems like Mobley actually maybe has the higher upside, but Cunningham is the one where it's just kind of like, okay, you take Cade Cunningham, given the position he plays, like he's going to have the ball in his hand, so he's going to impact the game.
Yeah, but Mobley could be one of those guys that's like all upside.
Yeah, it could be lower floor, too.
Turns out to be like Stromile Swift or Chris Wilcox or somebody, that guy.
Wow.
But you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yes.
Like these really big, long, athletic guys that are very, very... Marquise Chris is another example that just never develop into one. But I don't know. It's so weird. How much normally are you into the NBA draft? I know you're a big NFL draft guy.
Yeah, I like the NBA draft because, I mean, the whole thing only takes a few hours. So it's I like it.
One day, yeah.
I was still into it last night. I'm more into it, obviously, I guess, when the Suns pick high. But I was into it just in a different way last night where all of a sudden the rest of the league really matters, you know? Where, like, when you're at the bottom of the league and you're picking in the top five or six, like, it matters what the Suns do. You don't really care who the team picking 14th takes. But last night it was like, okay, all these picks matter because to a certain extent, all these teams are chasing the Suns.
True. So were you disappointed at all when the Suns traded their pick and they weren't going to have that guy?
I was only disappointed because it was like 10 minutes after our show and we were in the newsroom and I asked our program director what happens if they trade the pick, and we were all kind of like, even if they do that, it won't be till the, you know, the 28th
it'll be during
pick.
The draft, right?
Yeah. And then about, I don't know, what would you say,
three minutes later?
Maybe,
yeah.
Okay. Then they traded it.
Well, I felt bad for Kellen Olsen because Kellen worked nonstop through the playoffs.
Yes.
And just writing, appear on every show. Then he had 1 week to do a year's worth of draft prep.
Yes.
Which is normally he has 3 months, you know, to do it.
Yeah.
Because the Suns are out of it. And he's just like watching film. He wrote three articles on what the Suns can do at number 29. He scouted 15 different players the Suns could pick.
Yeah,
and then that was thrown off.
We gave him a chance to kind of like use some of that work last night when we were doing the two-hour draft show. Because as we started, I asked him basically that question, like, how do you feel about the trade, knowing you did all this this research and everything? And he said, I feel like they did it intentionally just to hurt me. So we don't know for sure if that's true or not.
Not for sure, no.
But
strong indications.
Probably.
James Jones didn't say it this morning, but he implied
he did.
The Kellen factor was...
But I did ask Kellen at the start of the show last night to give us just a couple names that, you know, that he would look at if they were there, if the Suns had still been picking at 29, who had his research shown would have been like, oh, okay, this is cool, this guy slid to us. And two of the names he gave were Miles McBride and Sharif Cooper. Sharif Cooper, who he repeatedly described as having a worse shot than I probably did in sixth grade, which is tough. My shot in sixth grade was not great. But he also said Jared Butler. And all of those guys actually went in the second round. So all of those players not only would have been there for the Suns had they just stayed at 29, but were guys that if they wanted to trade into the second round, they could have gotten. McBride went 36th to the Thunder. I mean, everybody in the draft went to the Thunder, although he was officially traded to the Knicks. Butler went to the Pelicans, but then he was traded to the Jazz via the Grizzlies. And Sharif Cooper, apparently everybody else knows he can't shoot because he went 48th to the Hawks. So he gets to learn how to shoot from Trae Young, which is probably not the worst thing. So there were a lot of the guys that might have been there at 29 were absolutely there.
Yeah, but who knows if any of those guys are better than Landry?
I don't think they are.
Shemet. So then it was a great move.
But that speaks to the idea that like once you get past like 15 or 20, they're kind of all
right. And so the Suns wound up trading the pick and a player. He was nice. Carter, but by at certain points in the year he was completely out of the rotation,
including the playoffs.
So you don't see Landry coming in to replace him, right?
No.
See him further up in the rotation. So who is he like? Is he just another guy they're adding to the rotation? Is he going to be replacing like Abdul Nader? Like that spot at Torrey Craig. I know he's not the same position as Torrey Craig, but like,
You mean whose minutes are is
right?
He
because
take?
He's not even because who they traded for him. It's not necessarily a one for one. You're hoping that he gives you more than what Carter gave him.
Yeah, like this came up a lot last night too, and you even brought it up earlier in the show today. It's that trade doesn't suddenly mean campaign's gone, but I think what minutes he's going to play, Shamet, what minutes he's going to play probably depends on if campaign's back. You know what I mean? Like they need a full picture of their roster to figure that out, because right now all you have signed for next year are Booker, Ayton, Crowder, Šarić, who's not going to play for a while, Bridges, Jalen Smith, who we don't know how much he's going to play at all, Cam Johnson, and Landry Shamet, not yet, but they will.
But because of how they did the rotation at guard last year with Paul and Booker?
Yeah.
After campaign, none of those guys really got minutes.
Not
Galloway,
in the playoffs.
Carter, or Moore.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Now, James Jones was on Doug and Wolf this morning, real quick here, and they said, hypothetically, if you were to acquire somebody like Landry Shamet.
Somebody whose name rhymed with.
Yeah, I mean, if that guy was in your plans, what would you be getting with him?
Again, the ability to shoot, the ability to play off the ball, the ability to defend, the flexibility to play multiple wing lineups, to play next to Devin if Devin has the ball. So just that versatility, lineup versatility was key for us going into the draft. And we came out with more versatility than we had going into the draft.
I think that's probably it. Just versatility and giving you a guy. Shamet did play in the playoffs, even for Brooklyn, even against Boston. Doesn't even feel like Boston was in the playoffs this year. But he played about 19 minutes a game in the Boston series and about 16 minutes a game in the Milwaukee series. So, I mean, that's on a team that has Durant.
Had lots of injuries,
they
though,
did,
also.
They did have Durant and Kyrie for the Boston series, at least. And whether Harden should have been playing or not, he was out there eating up minutes in the Milwaukee series. He was standing stationary just on, like, the corner of the three-point line, but he was out there.
You know what? I'm just glad that, because we talked about the charade they have to go through with they can't announce the trades yet, and the Suns actually had to make the pick.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that James Jones didn't have to come on this morning and be like, yeah, we're really excited about Daron Sharpie. We saw him there, and we are excited about his future with the team. And that
would have been great if he came out and mispronounced his name.
Wait, how do you pronounce it?
It's just Sharp, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, my eyes are terrible.
I thought that was part of the bit. It would have been great.
There was no bit.
If James Jones was like, yeah, we like Daron Sharpie. We took this guy, huh? But he was at least able to loosely talk about what a player like Landry Shamet might mean to the Phoenix Suns. All right, we come back. We haven't talked a ton about the defense. And in fact, the other day, it sort of seemed like Patrick Peterson was taking some veiled shots at the Cardinals. Vance Joseph didn't, like, outright respond to that, but Vance Joseph did speak yesterday, and we'll get some of those
thoughts.
He took
a veiled response.
A veiled response. Wow, this is getting very very cloak and dagger. All right, that's next. It's Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your exclusive home for Arizona Cardinals football is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold. Bickley and Murata talk Cards training camp now.
Yeah, training camp obviously going now around the NFL. Preseason games actually aren't even that far away. It's weird. Luke Lipinski, Jared Carlin in for Bickley and Murata. I mean, that's weird too, but that's not what I was going to say. It's weird that there are preseason games. Like, I thought we were going to get down
really
to like one of these.
Really didn't miss them, did you?
No, not at all.
I mean, the season started and then it just started. You weren't like, oh my God, they're throwing the ball the wrong direction.
Yeah, and it proved that
I put his pants on backwards.
It proved that it like you could do it without the preseason. Like all the guys that got hurt, Christian McCaffrey missing seemingly the entire season. That's not because they didn't have a preseason,
right? And they tried to sort of connect the two, but it's at least they got rid of one of the games.
Yeah,
they really feels like they could have one preseason game and at most two.
Yes, I agree. It's what sort of came to light last year, what I think most of us already figured, was, you know, the preseason games really, other than maybe like a half, just as like a tune-up for the players they're going to play, are more so for the guys they're trying to sneak into that like final roster spot on the team, or like those three final roster spots. So if you want to have one game where the starters play the first half and then the other guys have that second half to try and sort that out, fine. But like, you talk to former players or current players, and they will tell you like most of that final roster spot even is decided during training camp. It's like, I get the whole, like, you can't go from just sitting around doing nothing to playing week one of the NFL season, but I think you really can just have the training camp and not necessarily have the preseason. And also, this is not like the 40s where guys would like sit around and smoke cigars and drink like alcohol the entire offseason and then stumble into the first game.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a belt of whiskey while they were loading the fisher boats.
The fisher boats?
Fishermen boats.
Some people just call them boats, but that's fine.
Well, those people aren't real longshoremen like myself.
I guess not. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure J.J. Watt just worked out all offseason. I don't think playing in a preseason game...
As you pointed out, every Instagram or Twitter post he did during the entire offseason was him working out in a Cardinals shirt.
Seriously. Even his announcement that he was joining the Cardinals. But with all that said, they play the Cowboys on August 13th. So what is that? 2 weeks from today.
Wow.
First preseason game.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
That's
insane to even think about.
That is insane. We've said this before, but like the Suns made the month and a half delay in the end of the season and the Suns making it all the way till the finals, it just accelerated everything else up so much that it's crazy that we're just right into it.
Yeah.
Can you believe there was a year where the Cardinals had five preseason games?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Because I was at, I think, at least three of them. Vance Joseph. Take this however you want to take it, but of course, just remember it's within the context of the Cardinals losing Patrick Peterson and adding Malcolm Butler. They've added some draft picks at the corner position as well, but in terms of adding like established corners, they added Malcolm Butler, essentially, unless you think Robert Alford is an addition. Just because, you know, you're hoping that he'll be healthy and able to play this year. This is what Vance Joseph said about his secondary.
We've added guys that are, you know, complete players. They're going to tackle and embrace the hard downs, play man, play zone, those things. That's key in this league. And corners who tackle, it's been proven, you know, those guys you can win with. You know, guys who don't tackle, cover first guys, that's fine. But when the ball's thrown and caught, getting the guy down quickly is obviously important. So Butler, Rock, Murphy, Turquoise, Marco Wilson, all tacklers. So that's important.
So he's including the guys like Marco Wilson that are draft picks that we have never seen what they're going to do at the NFL level. But, I mean, do you take that as, hey, we like that Malcolm Butler is a complete player that can tackle, or do you take that as Patrick Peterson was not a complete player who was tackling or willing to tackle?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I think that because of Patrick Peterson's comments on the defense, on the team, on the coaching and everything, I think it's sort of a little tiny bit of a shot back, but it's also sort of, I mean, there is a reason they didn't re-sign Patrick Peterson and that they signed these guys. So he could simply just be saying, like, you know, we went out and got these guys and made these changes because of this reason, and it's legit, has nothing. I mean, it has something to do with Patrick Peterson because these are the people replacing Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. It looks like the Mets are making a huge trade now, too, for Javier Baez, or they're close to finalizing a trade for Javier Baez. It does feel like we're kind of left out with the way the baseball team has gone this year, where we're not so bad that we're dealing great players and we're not so good that it matters.
Let's do this.
Arizona Sports.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Breaking news.
The big day.
Breaking news. The New York Mets are finalizing a trade to acquire shortstop Javier Baez from the Cubs, as you may have heard here 4 seconds ago.
Yes, and it's... Come on!
It's a big deal.
Yeah. No, that is a real... Javier Baez is a... It's amazing how these teams are completely... selling. The teams that are selling are completely selling. This is what it looks bad for the Diamondbacks. Because if the teams like the Cubs and Nationals are total sellers,
yeah,
like even their young stars like Baez and Trey Turner, then the Diamondbacks have no shot. Because these teams have better things to offer the teams than the Diamondbacks do.
It is discouraging when a team 17 and a half games ahead of you in the standings is selling all their pieces.
The Mets infield now has Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez.
And do you think the Mets will win the World Series?
No.
Because they are the Mets. They're not even, I mean, they're barely a playoff team right now, right? Aren't they? They're the, I guess they're winning that division. Okay. But they're like a fringy playoff team.
Yeah, but I mean, Jacob deGrom has missed about half the year with various injuries.
Yeah.
So if he comes back, that's a pretty formidable lineup now.
Oh, it is.
Alonso and Baez and...
But baseball doesn't have a problem at all. It's not like the top teams are all just loaded and the other, what, 20 teams are either just there or awful.
The Nationals traded Yan Gomes and Josh Harrison to the A's. The Nationals, I believe, have less players on their roster now than the Coyotes.
You didn't want to... That's funny.
No, that wasn't breaking news. But... Javi Baez is
Yan
a huge,
Gomes
huge
is not
star.
Breaking news. They just showed his K rate is third worst in baseball. That's the stats they're showing on this ESPN right now. To celebrate the Javier Baez trade, they're talking about how awful he is.
Well, one thing to consider, strikeouts don't matter anymore in baseball.
No, they really don't. It's all, what,
Mark Reynolds was absolutely ahead of his time.
He really was. We used to play a game in the press box. It was like right when I first started in radio out of college. And it was Mark Reynolds, is he going to, what was it, strike?
Yes, we invented that. Me and Dave Burns invented that on the sports
line. You don't even know what I was going to say.
The Mark Reynolds hat trick. And it's if he has an error, a strikeout, and a home run in the same game.
That wasn't entirely what I was going to say, but that's close. It was when he came up to bat, everybody in the press box would be like, is he going to strike out or pop up to third? Those were the two options.
Or home
basically.
Run.
Yeah. Yeah, but not quite as much as he would strike out or pop up to third.
Right.
All right, we'll come back. Hour number three of the show. We will get more back into Cardinals training camp next. We got distracted by that Javier Baez trade, but that's coming up. It is the
Kyler Murray
show
today. Yeah.
Do we have that? We have some Kyler?
Absolutely.
Oh, we got some Kyler quotes coming up. All right, that's next. Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.